Do you have a boring job? Do you go to work every day and do boring, stupid, useless shit like jump out of helicopters in the middle of typhoons at night with a flashlight? Are you ready for a change in your life? Are you ready to actually contribute to society and do something exciting? Well, you can, because starting today, you can sign up at the Justin Trudeau Science School. Yes, you can learn to be a scientist just like Justin Trudeau and every newborn baby. It's the most fantastic thing ever. You can sit next to Bill Nye, the bow tie wearing science guy who is probably a pedophile, and you can talk about how you once taught a class in school and taught kids science because you're a scientist. You can wear a white lab coat. You can have disheveled hair. You can go to other countries and offend people by culturally appropriating their culture, even though you spend your entire life talking about how cultural appropriation is evil. Yes, you can be a scientist just like Justin Trudeau and every newborn baby at the Justin Trudeau Science School. The first thing you do is they cut your balls off, and the second thing you do is you learn to question everything except the things you're not supposed to question. The Justin Trudeau Science School. Look for it coming soon. But meanwhile, here in reality, it's me, the great one himself, and Adam Piggott. And we do have exciting jobs. Well, Adam Piggott has an exciting job. I have a really boring job. I just do things like stay up till 1 in the morning dealing with a bunch of goddamn sissy-ass musicians who are very full of themselves and trying to get them to leave so I can go home and go to bed. Adam Piggott, however, does jump out of helicopters in the middle of typhoons without a flashlight at night and subsequently beat the living shit out of sharks, probably in his mind pretending that that shark is Justin Trudeau. Adam, are you with us?
that's a hell of an introduction there, Greg. Oh,
hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you. That was brilliant. I thought we were going to start off with the red light stuff, but I suppose we can go straight into Justin Trudeau. You know, I mean, that's he of the Justin Trudeau, he of the boy band looks and the boy band brains.
He is very boy band looking.
And about as smart as one of those boy band members. Really out there with the trains. You know, the thing about Justin Trudeau as Prime Minister of Canada, like everyone, of course, is now looking at Canada. I mean, if you were Canadian now, you'd have to be pretty embarrassed with what's going on the world stage with your Prime Minister.
You're one of them. I mean, unless you're one of the indoctrinated and the brainwashed. I mean, I know one Canadian in person, and she is a female. And, I mean, she's very proud of her country being whatever you want to call it.
Right. Because everyone's looking at Canada now with Justin Trudeau, how everyone looked at the United States for 8 years under Obama, right. I'd say. They're directly applicable with each other.
Yes.
Though I think that Trudeau was actually more stupid than Obama was. But just as convinced of his own mass intelligence,
right.
Which isn't helped by being on a stage in front of people who fawn over him when he makes a pronouncement that babies are scientists.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like the Emperor of New Clothes.
Right.
Shall we talk about Trudeau? Shall we just launch it with him as you launched? Because I thought your intro there was great.
Easy.
Pressure's on me for the next episode because we're taking turns in this. So we were going to talk about his state visit to India first.
Sure.
Yeah?
Fill me in.
Did you see much of that one?
I did not see much of that one. I only saw, probably on the Twitterverse, a picture and a headline, something about he wore native garb of India and somebody got offended because it was cultural appropriation, which, I mean, shock of shocks. Somebody got offended. I can't believe it.
Well, actually, it was a bit more than that. I mean, Trudeau, on his visit to India, I think he did more costume changes than a transvestite the night before he's due to be the star queen at the Sydney Gay Lesbian Mardi Gras. I mean, every time he came, I saw at least, I'd say, a dozen different saris that this guy was wearing, sari suits. And the thing is, he's meeting Indian prime ministers and Indian ministers and stuff, and the shit, and they're just wearing like normal suits and stuff, but maybe they've got a turban on or something like that. But, and they're kind of looking at him going like, what are you doing, mate? I mean, and on top of that, It appeared, I mean, at least looking at the photos and the video footage, it appeared to me that someone had stuck together the palms of his hands with super glue so that they were permanently affixed in front of him in a praying type pose. Now, at least that's the only reason I can think of for why he did that all the time. Or perhaps he's an extremely religious man who keeps bothering God for a favor. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was wondering what sort of favor he'd be after. I'd say maybe it would be like the Wizard of Oz movie. Did you ever see the Wizard of Oz? When you were a kid, yeah. And I think Trudeau really wants to have a brain. And he keeps praying to God, please God, can I wake up with a brain tomorrow? Which one in the Wizard of Oz was it without a brain? I can't remember.
That was the Scarecrow.
Was it the Scarecrow?
Because the lion needed courage.
Yeah, because the
Tin Man needed a heart.
That's right.
And the Scarecrow needed a brain.
Okay. The Scarecrow needed a brain. So maybe that could be a good nickname for Justin Trudeau from now on. Whenever we refer to him, we just call him the Scarecrow. Because he's the man looking for a brain, isn't he? Oh, you don't like that one?
I'm thinking more along the lines that Trudeau in The Wizard of Oz was Toto, because we can maybe leap to the possible conclusion that Toto had been neutered and therefore was looking for his balls.
Yeah.
And Justin Trudeau is most certainly looking for his balls. I mean, I think that's what he was praying for in India. He was praying, please, Lord, please, can my balls drop?
Finally. Yeah.
Of course, that'll end his career in the boy band, because then he won't be able to sing that voice anymore. And then I'd so
wonderful. He won't be able to hit those notes. He won't be able to hit those high notes. No. Yeah. And all of the manly pedophiles like Bill Nye won't be interested in him anymore.
Oh!
They want to move on. You know, because they just want the young ones, don't they?
That explains.
You know, as soon as that.
That explains it.
As soon as the first pubes start poking through, well, that kid's out on the dust pile, you know, and that's when they start killing. That's when the young kids actually start killing themselves, is when the pedophiles, it's not while the pedophiles are doing the stuff to them, it's after they stop. Right. It's like, oh, you're not young enough anymore. You know, apparently that's what happens, that's what I heard. So that's probably why he's up there on stage with Bill Nye, the fuckwit guy, twirling his bow tie. I swear that fake scientists and fake economists and fake conservatives keep bow tie companies in business, as far as I can tell. If it wasn't for those guys, bow tie companies wouldn't exist anymore. The other observation about potential cultural appropriation from his trip was, I think his wife had a red dot on her forehead.
Oh, God. Oh,
from
yes,
what I could
think
tell.
I heard that too.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, do you know the reason that Indian women do have red dots on their forehead?
I actually don't.
It's because so that when their husbands come home from work, they can point their finger at the red dot and jab the finger and go, why are you so fucking ugly?
that's very insensitive of you, Adam. I mean, why don't you...
On the part of Indian men. Yes, I agree.
You just ruined my fucking joke. Thanks, mate. That's where I was going.
See, we're on the... we're on the
we're
same
on the
way.
We're on the same way, yes. Those poor men.
And so now we have the Scarecrow or Toto, whatever we're going to call him, sharing a stage with Bill Nye, where he proposes that babies are scientists. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the video, and as I was saying to you before we started recording, I haven't been able to watch the whole thing through because I can't stomach it, but if you look at the moment, Bill Nye actually looks vaguely uncomfortable at one point with Trudeau. I mean, Bill, it's like you've got a fake prime minister sharing the stage with a fake scientist.
Well, and I can understand why Bill Nye would be uncomfortable, just other than the fact that Justin Trudeau is about to be too old for him, but... Yeah. I mean, Bill Nye has created this mystique as the science guy with no scientific knowledge, but no one's really figured this out. And now here's Justin Trudeau, a substitute drama teacher, you know, going, look, I can be a scientist too. And Bill Nye sees a threat to his mystique, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he said that babies are scientists, you know, and Bill Nye's like, well, hang on a scientist. I've invested a lot in bow ties here. Fucking babies don't have bow ties, you know? But the thing about Bill Nye, though, I mean, going to say before, I mean, he actually was a scientist based on a television program, a children's television program. I mean, him claiming to actually be a credible scientist would be like the guy who plays Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory coming out and claiming to be a credible scientist as well. And in all total seriousness, that's how unscientific Bill Nye actually is.
Well, and the whole field of science to a large extent has become unscientific. I mean, you know, remember I worked in biomedical research for 8 years, and I can tell you most of what's going on is not really science. It's government funded make work is exactly what 70% of it is.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you doing in that government funded make work? But dear, may I ask?
I was sort of in charge.
Because when you say 8 years in biomedical science, I'm kind of envisaging that you donated your body for medical experiments.
Yeah, so we needed to see...
Which would explain a lot.
It was an experiment to see how the male body would react when exposed to hot little 19-year-old college girls.
Yeah, right. Let me know when you're back on planet Earth.
Hey, man, we could all have fantasies, right? Justin Trudeau has his. I have mine.
Oh, no, Justin Trudeau is living a fantasy. He's living the fantasy that the world's taking him seriously.
Well, if you look at look on that video, because I watched it just before we started this cast, it has 10 upvotes, 74 downvotes. And as I scrolled through the comments, every comment was along the lines of, this guy's an idiot, he should shut up, Canada should be ashamed of itself, I'm Canadian and I wish I was an American. I mean, I saw no positive feedback.
Well, what positive feedback can you have with someone that says that babies are scientists? You know, I mean, why don't we just say babies are doctors too, and you can operate, and you get your one-year-old to operate on you. let's roll a whole bunch of kids in diapers into the giant Hadron Collider in Switzerland and see what they come up with. You know, I mean, it can't be worse than Trudeau saying we're going to spend $4 billion of Canadian taxpayers' money on science.
Right.
We may as well get babies to oversee the whole. Because we have got it. They have got a baby overseeing the whole thing, don't they? They've got Justin Trudeau. His balls haven't dropped yet. And I think that this means what he said. That babies are scientists, that must mean that I'm a scientist too, because like I make hypotheses all the time. Because he said that a baby sticks his finger in the milk and it's hot, and so he's made the hypothesis that, I don't know what the fuck Justin Trudeau said. But the thing is, I meet people.
Yes.
Great one. I meet people fairly often. Mm. And often within a short space of time, I make the hypothesis to myself, of course. I don't say it out loud because, you know, I'm a very, very polite man and I consider people's feelings all the time.
True.
But I make the hypothesis that this person that I'm just met is a potential fuckwit. And then I test my hypothesis by observing his subsequent behavior. And most of the time, my hypothesis gets proved correct. So based on what Trudeau is saying, I'm pretty sure that I'm a scientist and I will be asking for a pay rise tomorrow based on this. I'm going to march into my work and say, look, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm actually a scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually a scientist. I mean, you must be a scientist too. I mean, what hypotheses do you make on a regular basis?
Yeah, I have a hypothesis very similar to yours, that most people around me are idiots.
You can't steal.
No, I can't.
You can't steal my hypothesis.
Man. The greatest art is stealing. I hypothesize that I can steal. I hypothesize that the people who spend the most time talking about how we have to be open-minded and question things are the least questioning people in the cosmos. I mean, for example, Justin Trudeau. So let me read you guys some quotes because I just watched this video. These are things that Justin Trudeau said. We must continuing to ask tough questions, encouraging that freedom of curiosity, empowering people to actually chase down those questions no one has been able to get an answer to yet. Spend more money for knowledge's sake. The whole question of what happens if you do this.
Hang on, wait. Spend more money
for knowledge for knowledge's sake. And
so let's fine tune that somewhat. Spend more of other people's money.
Naturally, you would never spend your own
for knowledge's sake. So knowledge is aware. Is that what they're saying? Knowledge is cognizant.
No. What he was trying to say with that, and this is what I'm talking about when I say that science is just make work. His point was that we should just do all of this research to get this knowledge because we might stumble across something that's important. And it's this,
magically.
And further than that, it's this idea that has become prevalent in what now passes for science, that just doing an experiment or something for the sake of doing it is good. Right, it's like people that I know who work in the botany field, and I know this girl, and she does research on tomatoes. And I'm like, well, what has come out of your, she's been doing this for 8 fucking years. Okay, you've been doing research on tomatoes.
Research on tomatoes. 8 years.
What has come out of this? Come out of this?
Yeah.
So, well, we're just crossbreeding and doing stuff. And I'm like, okay, but what has come out of this that's made the world a better place? And that's the difference.
Do we have better tasting tomatoes?
No, we don't, actually. And that's the thing. They have nothing to show for it. I mean, there was a day when science meant, hey, I'm going to figure out how do I get electricity from point A to point B? Or I'm going to figure out how do I make better tasting green beans? Or, you know, whatever. God help us, I'm going to figure out how do I shove more shit into an iPhone so I can spy on my customers who are brainwashed into buying my product. But now...
You're right, though, that when you say that it's government mandated pretend work, in the sense that I think that Elon Musk is the biggest con artist in the history of the world. Yeah. Seriously, the greatest con artist in the history. Books will be written about him in the future, about his con artistry. But the fact is that he sent a rocket into space, and I think his cost was something like, I can't remember the figures, but he sent a rocket in for say $50 million,
right?
And NASA a few days ago sent a rocket up, which comparatively wasn't much more than that, for something like 1,000 times the same price,
right?
And government mandated science means you're going to spend an awful lot of other people's money, because you've got a whole according to NASA, putting men on the moon, it was American Negro women who did all the math, according to a film.
Yes. Never would have happened without them.
I thought they would have been just cleaning the hallways, you know, emptying the dust buckets or something like that. I don't know. But this is the 1960s America. But apparently they did all the math.
Well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yes, he went there, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he went there. No one believes that a bunch of black women in the 1960s did all the math for the moon landing. Come on. Nobody really... Even the black chicks don't believe that shit. I mean, in Australia, the Aboriginals, man, they pull shit all the time to make fun of the white fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll say that they were there when a dolphin came up and clapped its hands together at them because they have a special affinity with the dolphin. Literally, I saw this one the other day. The dolphin clapped its hands. Its hands. The There are dolphins. There are dolphins swimming around Australia who are able to hold on to an Xbox and manipulate it properly. Who would have thought it? You know, dolphins in Australia carry swords and knives because they have hands. And this was repeated in the Australian press verbatim. And they're just making fun of the white fella. They're making fun of the white, and they go home. Hey bloke, you won't believe, bloke, what I said to them white fella. Those newspaper people, bloke. Oh, what'd you say, fella? Oh, I said the dolphins have hands and they're clapping us, mate, because we're in tune with them, and they brought it, mate. Look, here in the paper. That's what they do. Literally, that's what they do. I'm not exaggerating this. I wish I was. All right, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. All right,
tell us a story.
So I'm doing...
Story time.
I'm doing mining exploration in the West Australian desert 7 or 8 years ago, which meant walking around, bashing pegs into the ground in a proper desert, you know. I mean, really, really full-on stuff. And we had to liaison with the local Aboriginal elders, which is another term for local scam artists.
Okay. Yeah.
So we finally, an old geologist guy who'd been out for a long time instructed me on the proper way to handle this. So what we did was we did the survey, the aerial, they got the aerial survey, then they got their in-depth survey in the ground of what, and we were looking for uranium. Yeah. And so we worked out exactly where we wanted to drill for our exploration holes. And so what we did was we then put our pegs in the ground at least 200 or 300 meters away from the area that we wanted to drill. And we put all the tape up, the black and white danger tape, and we put it all around, and we had it all, this big, large area nicely circled. And we had it all marked on the map. And we had two maps. We had the map that we wanted to drill and the map for the local Aboriginal scam artists, yeah? And then what we'd do is we'd get a meeting with the local Aboriginals, and we'd say, we just need to know if there are any sacred sites in this flat, featureless desert inhabited by flies and people with the most miserable existence on the face of the planet, yeah? People who do mining exploration. And we'd sit down with the Aboriginal elders, and they'd have a look, and they'd look at our tape, they'd look at our pegs in the ground, and they'd look at the map we'd give them. And funnily enough, would you believe it, but every single time, the sacred sites turned out, without fail,
yep,
to be located
smack dab in the middle, right?
I mean, like, right, and then they'd spin a tail. The best part, was when they'd spin the tale about what had happened in that spot in the dream time. The great serpent spirit. And we'd just sit back and let them run with it. We'd let them run. You know, we'd let them run. Because they're after a payoff, aren't they? They're after a payoff. Yeah, after a payoff. And then I just watched this geologist, this old, I don't think he wasn't even a geologist. He was a surveyor. And he was like 65 years old. He'd been out there since he was 15, and he knew every trick. And he'd let them run out of steam. Yeah, he'd let them run out of steam, and then he'd just very casually. We'd thank them and we'd shake hands and we'd get up and we were about to all walk back to our vehicles, and then he'd just casually say, "Oh," he'd point in a direction which just vaguely happened to coincide with exactly the area we wanted to drill. And he'd say, "Oh, what about that area over there? Is there anything special about that? Because you said this was special. Is that area over there special?" And they go, "Ah, no, bloke, nothing special over there, brother." And that's where we drill. Every single time. They're just taking the piss. Sure. The piss. And so this story, this whole film, I mean, but you Americans have taken it to new heights, because you don't just let them take the piss. You then make films about it.
Well, of course.
He made a film about American black women doing the mathematics for the moon landings. I mean, unbelievable.
It is. But this is the depth, however, of you know, the guilt and the brainwashing that white people over here in the United States have. I mean, you know, anything that you can throw at white people in the United States that, you know, takes away any of their accomplishment, whatever, you know, just anything you can do to it, because they're all filled with guilt. They're just overloaded with guilt. You know, the friends I have, one of my, I give her shit all the time. She's like, we stole this land from the Native Americans. And I'm like, well, you own a house and land, right? She says, yeah. Well, you can give it back to them anytime. And, you know, she just looks at me with this hatred. So they're filled with this guilt over what they've done to black people and Native Americans.
It's not.
And, yeah. I mean, just anything.
But it's not really guilt, is it? It's just their way of signaling their virtue.
Well,
because they don't go to church anymore, they? But they need to show that they are good people. In the past, you were an absolute shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the majority of your waking existence.
Yes, I have been an absolute shit for the majority of my waking existence. Let's not get personal.
But then you went to church on a Sunday morning. And by doing that, you showed the community in general that you were a good person.
Right.
Yeah? Which freed you up to be a shit for the rest of the week.
Exactly. That was your cleansing. Right. You were cleansed weekly.
Exactly. But you weren't just cleansed. You were able to demonstrate to the community that you were a good person. Right. Well, that outlet is not available anymore for most people. Especially leftists. I mean, leftists will, if they step into a church, will probably turn to ash or something like that. So, but they still need to, A, feel like a good person, and B, they need to demonstrate to society at large that they are a good person to make up for all of their shitty behavior. And so now we have our virtue signalers and white guilt. Yeah. And they're using black people to collectively feel better about themselves, aren't
yes,
they?
that's exactly what it is. And any, excuse me.
I've got another point about Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Last point. Then we can move on to others because we've got a couple of other topics we want to talk about. The other thing that I really want to discuss about his baby a scientist moment was his sartorial display on the stage. Now, I don't know if you still have the video up there, but if you have a look, he was wearing a shirt and tie, but he had rolled up the sleeves of his shirt, like all the way past his elbows. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It's just, I've never seen anyone in a formal shirt and tie on stage do this, let alone the Prime Minister of a country. I suppose that maybe it's Justin Trudeau's, like Obama went in not wearing a tie. Maybe this is Justin Trudeau's Obama's not wearing a tie moment.
Right.
Because the only people I've ever seen with long sleeve shirts roll the sleeves up that far are waiters in restaurants who want to show off their biceps. So could the fact that Trudeau is rolling up his sleeves like this be his attempt to show off his biceps because he is a boy band member, and as we've already noted, he doesn't have a brain. So subconsciously, he's going to roll up his sleeves to get the younger female members, and apart from Bill Nye, who I don't think is a man anyway, everyone else on that stage was a woman of some description.
Mm.
And most of the audience seemed to be chicks as well. And I think that Trudeau just wanted to get their tingles going to offset the fact that he's speaking total bullshit. Do you think that could be the case?
Distraction. Yeah, that could definitely be the case.
You didn't pick up on the t-shirt, on the shirt thing, did you?
No.
Maybe it's just me. Yeah. Maybe it's just me.
I just wasn't looking at the video. I was listening to him, but I really didn't need to see him as well. So.
Oh, I always observe. Observations can be even more interesting about what people, because people can control what, to a certain extent, people can control what comes out of their mouth.
No, that's true.
But they can't control
the body language. Facial expressions.
They can't control facial expressions, how they're crossing their legs, how they're sitting in their chair, are they slouching? And he moves his hands a lot. I'd love that body language chick on YouTube to actually have a look at this video. I might send it to her. I've never communicated with her before in my life, but I might send her this one and see if she'll do it.
Anyway,
let's move along. Red lighting.
Ah, this is brilliant.
Do you want to read it out?
Oh wait, have you got it up there in front of me?
I can do it. Yeah. You want me to read it out? Okay, so red lighting, in inverted commas, is sweeping the nation. The USA, yes. Of course. Activists are replacing white porch light bulbs with special red bulbs to let the world know this is a gun-free home. Jane Seymour says we will soon see millions of homes with red bulbs. Quote, a gun-free safe home is everything America is supposed to be, unquote. Jane Seymour, what do you think of the fact that people are going to advertise to the world at large that they have no possible means of defending themselves?
I think it's brilliant. It makes me want to take advantage of the situation. I have two possible ways to have fun with this. The first obvious one, of course, is just to look for the porches with the red light, go in and take what I want. But
yeah.
As that becomes more and more of a trend, you know, and like piercing and tattoos, the kids start doing it on a regular basis. I think what would be fun is you put the red light in your porch there, and you go in your living room across from the door, and you leave the front door unlocked, and, you know, you get whatever. You get a beer and some snacks and your chair and your shotgun, and you just sit there.
Yeah.
And you wait for somebody to come in thinking you're unarmed, and you just do a little cleansing of the gene pool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's some potential. Yeah.
Of course, to add to that, the other type of red light on the front porch, of course, could be from the laser sight on your gun, which you're using to home into the forehead of the person who's decided to knock your home off. That would be ironic. If you I thought that red bulbs traditionally, I mean, it's an interesting color that the left have chosen here. They seem obsessed with
sex. They do.
Sex.
I think it's a red light district. I'm thinking the same thing.
A red light on the porch of a house generally historically signifies one thing only, and that's come and get it, boys, if you can part with your hard-earned cash. Now, the left don't seem very good at history, do they?
Well, maybe the red light on their porch means that the boys can still come and get it, and you don't have to worry about the girl putting up a fight because she doesn't have a gun.
Exactly.
You don't even have to pay for it.
Exactly
now.
The same thing. But this ignorance of history ties into the other gun control idea that they have, which was armbands for gun control. It's from one Lauren Hogg, who I think was one of the kids at the school that got shot up, because she's in the photo. She's standing there with you and our favorite tough guy, David Hogg. Inspired by the Supreme Court landmark case Tinker versus Des Moines, I'm starting Armbands for Change. Make your own and wear it to school or work to protest gun violence. And there she is with the armband. And it's interesting that most of the school that got shot up were Jewish. So James Woods, the actor James Woods, the real James Woods, replied on Twitter, quote, "You might have little trouble getting Jewish Americans to embrace this look. And do you have some shiny jackboots and brown shirts to go with it? Guessing maybe you skipped history class while you were shilling for the DNC." They're not good at history, are they? The left. They're just not good at history.
They are no good at history. And this is something I've noticed about leftists for a long time. And I think it is actually one of the differences I see between the left wing and the right wing. Right wing people tend to be fairly decent at history and maybe a little less knowledgeable of what's happening today. Left wing people, they know what happened in the last 24 hours and they're outraged by it. But anything beyond that, they have no clue. It's just further back it goes.
Maybe they're... Man, because maybe the next idea will be the chick will have will be numbers tattooed on your arm for gun control.
Yes, we should get tattoos for gun control. Absolutely,
tattoos for gun control. You know, and it'll be a number on your arm, on your inner forearm there, and the number will be based on how early you were to get with the program.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there'll be a website. You'll go to the website and you'll get your number from the website. Yeah. And thus there'll be prestige in number. Having a lower number.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But you'll have to go to a special registered gun control tattooist.
Yes.
To get a special kind of ink, which will look a little bit blurry, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit not, maybe a bit of a rush yep. job, perhaps, mm-hmm. Like someone really hasn't the time to do this because they've got to do so many people.
Right.
And I think I can see that really catching on. Too. I can see that being a big thing for the young people of today. And you know, it's really important to listen to the young people today because we need to listen to them to tell us what to do with guns at the same time as Congress tries to make laws getting them to stop eating Tide Pods.
Exactly. I mean, they are massive. Their intelligence and their wisdom. I mean, we've got to let.
Oh.
I mean, when you live in a democracy and you have a government that makes policies that affect the entire population and in some cases the entire world, I mean, obviously those policies are so important that they should be influenced by the vast life experience of 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old children. I mean, after all, think about this. These 15-year-old kids, they were babies not that long ago. They are much closer to being mm-hmm. scientists than you and I are.
Oh.
Because you see, our scientific sensibilities have been polluted by all of this real-world experience, the fact that we don't wear bow ties, neither of us had sex with an 8-year-old boy. Mm. So you know, we don't really know what the fuck is going on. We cannot be trusted to figure out things like gun control policy. We need 15-year-old children to guide us through this process.
Do that for us.
With the scientific method.
I see where you're going. I see now where Justin Trudeau was going with this on stage. This actually was tying in with the kiddies doing their gun control bit. And let's be honest, who doesn't want to see kiddies roaming around social media telling us old fogies how it's done and blessing us uninvited with the benefits of their inexperience.
Yeah.
I think it's a very humbling act mm-hmm. and a very selfless act on their part collectively.
Yes.
And I for one feel mm-hmm. blessed. Don't you?
I feel blessed. I really can't relate to that. Humbling and selfless. Yeah, I have nothing to relate to that with.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. Now, if you go back, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go on.
All right, fine.
All right. If you go back to the piece that I was reading there on the red lighting, there's something I want to draw your attention to. So I'll read the first part again. Red lighting is sweeping the nation. Activists are replacing white porch light bulbs with special red bulbs.
Oh.
Now, the word special there kind of jumped out at me. And I was wondering to myself, well, what exactly are special red bulbs and how are they different from normal
red
bulbs?
That's a great question.
Are they somehow different from other bulbs that are colored red? Perhaps they explode if an intruder steps onto the porch. So they're not using a gun to defend themselves, but they have an exploding red bulb, for instance. It's intriguing, isn't it? What sort of speciality these red bulbs?
Okay, wait. Maybe, because see, this could be brilliant. Because think about this. All right, so you're a capitalist pig, and you see all of these stupid, gullible people, blah blah blah, and you come up with an idea. I'm going to sell red bulbs for gun control, and you buy a bunch of red light bulbs. For say 7 cents each or whatever they are, and then you put a sticker on the box that says "Yay gun control." You can now sell them for $13 each.
Maybe
there's a website or something where you have to go to get these special bulbs, and there's either a capitalist pig making a profit, or there's some socialist who hates capitalism who, oddly enough, is making a profit.
Yeah, yeah. Or it could be even more insidious than this, and someone at the school has a light bulb business, and they ordered a whole bunch of red bulbs for, they had a massive order from the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, and at the last minute, the order was cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances, because the red bulbs weren't needed anymore due to the arrival of Sher, who would obviously, her brilliance would make any, and no red light bulb can be allowed to be illuminated in Sher's great deified presence. So now they were stuck with all these red light bulbs, and they had to think up a way to get rid of them. And now we have red bulbs for gun control. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah?
Absolutely.
So it couldn't have been a socialist in that sense. Because they're not known for their brilliance, are they?
No.
Has it been a brilliant socialist?
Brilliant socialist. Ooh, man. I don't think so.
Yeah. Or, to narrow it down a bit, a socialist who was good at something.
Yes, there have been many socialists who are good at stealing money from other people who work for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, half of that.
I don't know. Maybe we should ask a baby.
Ask a baby today. I've got a 1-year-old nephew. I could go and ask him. Not only does he not speak yet, but he doesn't speak a language I don't yet understand. And I reckon I could get a lot of sense out of it.
So many hypotheses are running around in that brain of his.
I just want to stick a microphone in his dumb, fat little face.
Enlighten us.
What hypotheses have you come up with today? you've managed to hold onto the edge of the table.
Were you involved in sending men to the moon?
No, of course he was. They're going to make a movie about it.
Did you know the lunar landing? The lunar landing module was built by babies.
That was built by babies. Babies were on the moon. All over it. The moon landing was faked by babies.
John F. Kennedy's speech about going to the moon was written by babies.
Yeah, John F. Kennedy, we all know what he said in Berlin. Ich bin baby. And for all you people who don't know history, you must be a lefty.
Who's John F. Kennedy?
The thing about lefties is...
Yes.
The thing about lefties is that you can't rewrite history. You can't rewrite something you've got no idea exists, can you? They say that leftists keep rewriting history, but how can you rewrite history when you haven't read the history?
Well, they don't much rewrite it. They just add women and black people to everything. You know, women and black people went to the moon. Oh, actually, did you know the Constitution of the United States was actually written by one of Thomas Jefferson's black female slaves? You know, during the Declaration of Independence, there were black women in there who were debating. You know, they just add black women and blacks and women.
It's like the Mary... Look, it might sound far-fetched, but we have the so-called English historian Mary Beard. By the way, never always be very wary about a woman whose surname is Beard. I wouldn't go marrying one of those because you're liable to have that upper lip faint hair fuzz by the time they're in their 50s. You know what I mean? The women's moustache. But anyway, have you heard of Mary Beard? She's the one who who's presently rewriting because Roman history is her specialty. Okay. And she's rewriting Roman history that most of the Roman legions in England were actually black. Ooh. And she's actually done a production for the BBC where you have the Roman family in Britain, and you've got, get this, you've got the white mummy, the white Roman mummy, and then you've got the black, yeah.
Of course you do.
It's not just It's not just current television commercials where they're doing the whole white mummy black daddy thing. It's Rome 2,000 years ago as well.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So, all right. Red lighting, sweeping the nation. Sweet nation. So, anyone living in America, if you see a red light bulb, you got one of two choices. You can walk up at the door and knock on the door. If a lady of the night answers the door, you could be in for the ride of your life. And you can also fall in love with her and be your own Captain Save-A-Ho,
Yep. Literally.
Or you can knock on the door and a soy boy will answer. You can immediately punch him in the face and take all his stuff. It's almost like it's with this like red porch light bulb. It's almost like the kids at school who had the lockers that you know at school you knew who the nerds, which lockers belonged to the nerds, just by the appearance of the locker itself. It was almost like they would do something to the locker. They had to do it. They couldn't help themselves, and it was like bullies were drawn to it like moths to a flame. And now we have the same thing now with red light bulbs. The soy boys are out there advertising, please come and smash me in the face, so they can complain about it later. You know, they want to be a victim too. There you go. We also wanted to talk about 60-year-old plus men giving dating advice to teenagers, didn't we?
We did. We're not even teenagers, just not old guys like me who still hit on teenagers.
How is that working out for you?
Not that well, but you know, that's not going to stop me from trying. I mean, what is it that the women's always say? If you aim for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Right? You know, hey. Some woman said that. It must be true. But
yeah. I admire your I don't know what I admire about that. I'm struggling right now to admire something. has it ever worked for you at all?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
Just not lately, but yeah. It's bloody worked.
Can we define lately?
No, it's been years. But okay, look. But when I was 35, 36, I was banging a 19-year-old.
Yeah. Okay.
And she was cute.
Okay. Right. Oh, it was a woman.
Well, this was a real woman, right? Not like a trans woman or identify woman or
a trans testicle
or bow tie. She didn't have any bow ties or anything like that. No, she.
It wasn't someone who just identified as a woman. It was an actual woman.
I confirmed it. It was true.
Right. All right. And she was hot. She was 19. Yeah. She was 20 years your junior, more or less. Did you form a lasting bond? No.
I wasn't trying to.
Ah, okay. Because every woman that I've ever slept with, I've tried to form a lasting bond with.
Well,
I have.
But you're Adam Piggott. You know, you do things differently.
Yeah, I do. And it never worked out for me.
Hey, what a coincidence. It never works out for me either.
There we go. Do as we say, boys, not as we do. Now, speaking of that, Robert McCain, who I get on very well in the blogosphere with. He links to me a lot, and I link to him a lot, but you can't agree with everyone all the time.
Of course not.
You know, I mean, like, there's only one person in the history of the world who's had all the answers, and that was a guy that we stuck on a cross. Yeah, no one else has had all the answers since then. So he had a piece up where he started off by having a go at the manosphere, which I've got to admit, great one. I was a little bit hurt at this. I was a little bit hurt. He actually wrote the manosphere in inverted commas that were mocking.
The mocking inverted commas. Yes. See, yeah, all you have to do is put a word in inverted commas, and that magically becomes an argument. Yeah. Yes, I love that tactic.
Yeah. And then he equated it with the Manosphere with PUA culture, which was a little bit disappointing. Because, of course, for all the listeners out there who are wondering the difference, the Manosphere is about improving your life as men, taking control of your life, making a man of yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. If we want to define the Manosphere, it's making a man of yourself, not being a victim. It's the opposite of that. Whereas PUA culture is just kind of stuck on one tiny aspect, which is game. And game is important. Yes. It's very important, but it's not the be-all and end-all. But PUA culture has kind of lost sight of the wood for the trees, so to speak. And if you look at it at PUA, older PUA guys, they have pretty miserable lives for the most part. The ones who live their lives vicariously through the blogosphere, they really do. I mean, they some of them are just downright embarrassing, mm-hmm. and they keep writing books, changing their mind all the time based on the last 2 years of their worthless experience.
Right.
It's pretty. Yeah. I mean, they were initially really good at one thing, which was picking up chicks.
Exactly.
But after that, they're just absolutely shit.
Right, but yeah, because they.
Whereas the manager.
They don't do anything just beyond the picking up chicks, which I'm all about. I love picking up chicks. I mean, it's a great concept. But when that becomes your focus and you're not focusing on, you know, and other people have said this better than I'll say it, but the PUAs, they sort of start focusing in on, oh, it's this script and this act, and this is this little routine I run to pick up a girl. And okay, sometimes the routine gets her to have sex with you. But then after that, hearkening back to actually what you said about trying to form connections with women, okay, so after you pick her up and you have sex with her once, you don't have anywhere to go after that because you've run out of routine, you've run out of script, and you're just this sort of empty shell of a human being. You don't have anything that is you. You've just got this facade you throw at women to get their attention.
And being a man is about having depth. That's what being a man is. Men are defined by what they do, and they're defined by their interests, by how much they know. And if the only thing you know is to run a few lines to pick up chicks, and after that you've got nothing. Well, I mean, it's the shallow kiddies waiting pool end of existence, isn't it? There's nothing there. It's all flim flam. It's like fairy floss, you know, whatever you call that stuff.
Bombs.
So yeah, fairy floss. You know the stuff you eat at the fair that dissolves in your mouth.
Cotton candy
floss.
Thought
there we go, cotton candy. We call it fairy.
That's
floss.
What I call thongs. Is fairy floss.
Really?
Yeah.
Thongs. A thong as in. I don't want to even go there.
I don't want to see you in a thong, unless you're wearing a bow tie with it.
Yeah.
Jumping out of a helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the other McCain said basically that if a guy's really winning, he's out in real life picking up women. He doesn't have to spend hours on some PUA forum. So the winners are out there winning and the losers are just losing. And someone who does know the secrets won't give them out because men don't do that. They're not going to help out other men steal the chicks off them, which, you know, that's fine, except that the other McCain then spent 3,000 words talking on the internet about how to pick up chicks.
Right.
And giving out all these so-called secrets, which I thought was a little bit counterproductive in the way.
Although, let me jump in real quick and say this, though. I think this illustrates something that I've been saying about the differences between men and women for a long time. Here's the thing. Men, real, actual men, manly men, such as, for example, yourself, will help other men become better. Because real men do not look at other men as competition, right? That's the chick worldview. This is what I keep saying about girls. Girls hate other women. Yeah. Girls view other women as competition. Women will not help other women get better. That's why women say to skinny girls, you need to eat a sandwich. That's why they say to girls with long, beautiful hair, you need to cut your hair. Your hair would be so cute if it was short. Women constantly tear each
other
down.
And they say to
fat
chicks, but they say to fat chicks, oh, you're so beautiful.
Yes, yeah, exactly. They tell other fat women they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. And men, we work the opposite. We want to bring other men up. Anytime I see another man who's doing better than me, I'm very happy for him.
Yeah.
Overjoyed.
Men cooperate.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And I think there's another angle you can look at that, and that's leadership.
Yes.
A really good leader will surround himself with people who could take over and do the leadership job if something happened to him. Whereas a very poor leader will surround himself with incompetence because he doesn't want anyone to threaten his
exactly.
position. Yeah. So, and the same that ties in with what we're talking now. So when I think the other McCain, Robert McStacey McCain, is probably the best writer on the internet as regards to taking apart feminist doctrines. And he's been banned from Twitter. He's had his Patreon account cancelled. He's taken so many hits, you know what I mean? That it's just not, I mean, this guy is out there walking the walk, mm-hmm. you know, fighting the feminists, writing his book. I mean, when it comes out, this guy's getting so much material. It's unbelievable. And some of the stuff that he wades through, that he dissects, and then puts up a 3,000 or 4,000-word article about, I'm like, I'm so glad you dissected that shit, because there's no way I'd want to read it, you know, and have my eyeballs slide down my face. So I mean, I really, and he's a great writer. He's a really good writer. But on this one, you know, he's just really got it wrong, because the advice he gave out, and he's in his 60s, I think. He's got grandkids. The advice he's gave out, as I wrote in my article, he may as well have binge-watched the whole series of Little House on the Prairie and then given dating advice based on that. Because it's so out of date. It's literally, he's imagining it as if it was 1965 and he's back in a frat party or something. And that's not how the world works anymore, is it? It just doesn't. I mean, you're trying to pick up 18-year-olds, a hobby which I can heartily recommend to anyone out there who's looking for a hobby. I mean, you're 50, right? You're 50 years old. So how have you had to adjust your courtship techniques with the advent of, you know, WhatsApp and Snapchat and whatever these things are that I don't have.
Actually, I don't have those either. But I mean, I think the biggest adaption is just having to realize, and this is what sort of ticked me off about some of the other stuff I'll get into in a second, is that you have to do the thinking for them, and you have to have no expectations they're going to follow through. You have to expect the flaking out. And I think more than ever, it's all about the numbers. You know, and speaking of old people who are married giving dating advice, you know, the thing that initially set me off on this was when Stefan Molyneux and the guy Owen, whoever his name, I don't remember his name, did the video about the comedian and the chick, I don't remember people's names. And whatever. You know, and so Stefan and Owen are reading this extremely lengthy and terrible article about this woman, explaining how she sucked his dick and then that was rape and everything else. But as they're building up, they're going through and, oh my God, he told her what to wear on a date. And Stefan and Owen are just gasping and hawing that this man told a woman what to wear on a date. And it's like, well, yes, you do that. I mean, I've met girls for dates going hiking and they show up wearing flats because I didn't tell them to wear hiking shoes. Right? More mature women what should I wear? But you know, this disconnect.
Well, that's what I said, Dave. I mean, I'm gonna blow your mind.
Laying on me.
But yesterday, the good wife and I went into a major Dutch city. And we were going to a restaurant that evening and we were doing a bit of a celebration, you know, because a few things have come together and we wanted to go out for a special occasion. And we decided to get the train in so I could drink myself stupid and drive. And the good wife came downstairs and I looked at her and I said, is that what you want?
I saw that.
And she just looked at me and I said, we're going out to a nice restaurant tonight. And while what you're wearing now is completely appropriate for lounging around a house, it's not exactly what I expect to have on my arm when I go blow a whole pile of cash in a good restaurant tonight. And she went straight upstairs and she changed and she came down and looked, you know, absolutely amazing. And I said, you look lovely, darling. And then we went off on our hot date. Now, I'm assuming, according to Stefan Molyneux, this is rape?
Pretty much, yeah. If Stefan found out you told your wife what to wear, he would lose his shit and shriek like a little girl. They also shrieked over the fact that he took this girl on the date to what they called an oyster bar, which if you actually read the article and do a little research, you find out, well, it's a seafood restaurant on a boat, which is conveniently very close to his apartment. And the girl posted a picture of their meal, because that's what girls do on Instagram, is take pictures of their food. There were no oysters involved. But Stefan and Owen lost their collective minds because he took her to an oyster bar. And of course, oysters are an aphrodisiac. And on and on, you know, and on and on about this. It's like, no. He took her.
Hang on. Are you serious? Stefan Molyneux is going on about this?
Yes. I would tell you to watch the video, but it was an hour long. It was so painful. I only made it through 30 minutes, and I was drinking at the time. It is absolutely painful.
So he's a white
painful.
Knight, basically.
Yes. He's just white
he's
knights
a white knight.
For her
Stefan
through
Molyneux.
The whole
oh,
video.
God.
And I'm like, okay, guys, look. Once again, it's old married people giving dating advice. It's like, no, the reason he took her to that restaurant is because it was close to his house. When I go out with a girl, I don't travel to the other side of town. I tell her, we're going to this place, and I go to one of the three places that I go to all the time that are within 5 blocks of my front door, where I know the menu, I know the prices, I know the people who work there. That's all that's going on.
You know, the thing that they must have been discussing his restaurant choice, because they've got no other skills or knowledge to evaluate what was going on. I mean, if I was going to look at that, the choice of what restaurant he took it to and how close it was, it's got nothing to do with anything.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't.
It's just got. There's no way. There's no way that the choice of restaurant could. I just unless he took it to fucking McDonald's or something. I just can't see how that has any bearing on how the night progressed. But they haven't got anything else,
no.
Do they? These guys, Stefan Molyneux or whoever this Owen guy is, they got nothing else. This is all that they can look at and try and work out. And didn't he? If I remember correctly, because I'm not that familiar, but didn't he order the wine? And he ordered
yes.
white wine or something, and she wanted red or something like
well,
that.
When she went to his house, and they lost their mind over this also, she went to his house first, and he served her white wine and did not give her a choice. Mm. And Stefan is just squealing. Oh, my God. He gave her alcohol on an empty stomach, because we all know that no 20-year-old girl has ever drank alcohol on an empty stomach. In the history of the human species.
Hang on, what do you mean an empty stomach?
Right, and how do you see...
They just been to a seafood restaurant.
No, this was before. But how did...
This is before
the restaurant. So this is another sign of that. And what a terrible human he is. He gave her alcohol before going to the restaurant. And he gave her white wine instead of her choice of wine. And then they go to...
Oh, so if she'd chosen a
right.
wine, it would have been okay. Him giving her alcohol before they went to the restaurant or anything, it would have been okay if she'd chosen
yes.
the wine. But the fact that he chose the wine and gave it to her, I mean, did he literally strap her to the chair, hands down, stick a funnel down her throat,
poured it in.
And pour the whole fucking bottle, like, I mean, siphon the whole... And then punched her in the stomach to make her swallow. My God.
Okay. But wait, since we're on the wine, it gets better. Okay, so we lose our shit, right? Because he gave her wine and expected her to drink it. They go to the restaurant, and then he wanted to leave the restaurant before they had finished the bottle of wine they ordered at the restaurant. And now Steph...
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the white knight point of view, I mean, he's been a good boy, because if he'd stayed there and made her drink the whole bottle, then obviously he was trying to get her as drunk as
possible.
No,
but wait,
obviously.
But wait.
Obviously. Great one.
But Stefan loses
obviously.
His shit, because now they're leaving the restaurant before they finished all the wine, which can mean only one thing. He just wants to have sex with her. Okay, so giving her wine
obviously.
Means he wants to have sex with her. leaving wine at the restaurant without drinking it means he wants to have sex with her. And the most stunning, well, all of it is stunning, but to me it's like, Stefan, do you not understand that the whole reason he took this girl on a date was because he wants to have sex with her.
He wanted to have
why
sex with her.
Why else do you fucking date women? And this is why you old people need to shut the fuck up about dating. What? Yes, he wanted to have sex with her. That was the fucking point.
How is Stefan Molyneux got any credibility at all? I mean, the reason that he didn't, that they didn't finish the bottle of wine was because name was, knew that he was in already.
Yes.
And he didn't have to sit there watching her drink the rest of the bottle. And that she was all ready to go and play a magic song on his flute. If you know what I mean. And I think you do. Yes, she
absolutely
did.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, and then she had the next day. She had, you know, that you know, you wake up and you feel like a slut,
right.
And that's when, doesn't matter how big of a celebrity you are that you slept with, you can't let a girl on a pickup first date go to bed thinking she's a slut. You've gotta make it feel like that she stayed a noble, pure woman throughout the whole thing, and it was only because you're such a stud and such an alpha male that. She just didn't, in the end, she didn't have a choice. She wasn't able to resist. That's what women want, to wake up feeling pure and virginal, and that's how they manage to convince themselves that they are. You know, right. That's why beaters never get laid, because they're always want the girl to make the decision to respect her. But the girl doesn't want to make the decision because the girl doesn't want to, she doesn't want to wake up feeling like a slut.
Exactly.
How hard is it, people? How hard is it? I used to get laid the most back in the day when girls were coming into town. They had a week's holiday and they had a job in some office somewhere. Yes. And they come in on a week's holiday, and on their second last day they came whitewater rafting, and they were getting pretty close. You could tell the desperate holiday girls, because they weren't desperate for sex. They were desperate for a story to tell around the coffee machine to the other girls the next week. That's what they wanted. They went on holiday to steamy tropical Cairns or something like that in Australia on the Great Barrier Reef, and they wanted to go back with a steamy holiday story. So they'd rock up, and you'd see them coming a mile away. They'd rock up to go rafting, and just about any guide was good enough. They just needed to have that story to take back with them. And you knew they were leaving in a couple of days. Let me tell you, they were up for it. And they woke up feeling virginal the next day because the big bad river guide, rah, 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 rah. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. I swear to you. Shooting fish in a barrel. Ah, those were
I believe
days.
You. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, here's a question on that.
Anyway.
Do you think, because this was pre-cell phone, yeah?
Early
cell phone-ish, but there was no smartphones, right?
Early cell phone. No.
Do you think that less of that happens now because they can just do their selfies and attention whore on the Instagram? Do you think that's become a substitute, or do you think they're still just as good to go overall?
Girls just want the tingles, so they don't need to have sex.
Yes.
If you give the girl the full-on tingles and tell her that she's the most beautiful girl in the world and you will do any for it and you desire her, she's already got what she needs. She's got the validation that she needs. And she doesn't need the sex to get that. So you'll never get lucky in that sense. You've already given her what she wants. You want the sex, but she wants the validation. If you give her the validation before the sex, well, it doesn't work. The sex has to be the validation for you to get laid as a man. That's what a lot of guys don't understand. Saying that, you said, do you think it happens less today? I don't know if it happens less today. I'm not out there whitewater rafting anymore.
Well, but aren't you a scientist? I am actually truly just asking you to theorize on it. I know you're not doing it today. I'm just asking you for your theory based on your past experience.
I would assume that river guides with half a sexual brain are getting laid just as much today as they were in the past. Okay.
So there it is. Young guys out there, go really be a river guide.
I think girls still want to have the tingles. Look, I tell you what, there is no way better way to get laid as a young man than as some sort of adventure guide. Scuba dive instructor, paraglide instructor. Paraglide, you strap the girl around your waist and then fly her around. Skydive instructor, climbing instructor, all this sort of stuff. You get to see the world, you get paid peanuts, and you get laid on a very regular basis with good-looking women. We're not talking like ugly fuglies here. I mean, we really had the pick. If we took 160 people rafting in a day, and there were like 10 girls that were up for it, you got the hot ones every single time, you know. I could tell you some stories. I'm just not going to because it's just ridiculous. But seriously, you put the girls in that situation on the holiday, and they've got 5 days or 7 days, and they want to go back to the office with a story. Right. Well, an Instagram Snapchat shot is not a story. It's an Instagram Snapchat shot, and anyone can take an Instagram Snapchat shot, can't they?
All right.
I mean, how is that making your holiday special?
Right, that's not really the okay.
For around the coffee machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Now I.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, look, young guys, if you want to get laid, you know, that's the way to do it. Really was unbelievable. I'll tell you how unbelievable. We once took rafting. There was an Australian male stripping group back in the 90s called the Chippendales, I think.
Oh, yes. They wore bow ties.
Really? They wore bow ties. That's it. I think that's what Bill Nye is trying to project, I think, when he's wearing his bow tie. But we took them rafting in Cairns as part of a normal day. So I think there were like a dozen of these male strippers. I know. And really, really good-looking guys, really muscular. And we're the rafting guides. We kind of look like what the crew of a 17th century pirate ship would look like. You know what I mean? There's random tattoos. There's all different lengths of hair. There's random facial jewelry and ear piercings. There's pretty muscular, but you know, we haven't gone out of our way to make it, you know, our be all and end all. We're all got our individual rafting outfits. We're not all uniform, you know, pirate crew. That's what rafting guys look like. Anyway, so these guys come on a full day trip, and there were some good looking girls on the trip that day. And we got to the lunch spot where it's a big barbecue on the river, and these guys are strutting around, and we started to see them actually looking really concerned because the girls were not even looking at them, because those Chippendale guys were dressed in the yellow life jacket and the red helmet, and they were wearing fucking Speedos, yeah? But they were dressed all the same, just like all the girls were, and the only ones that were standing out, the ones that had the attention of the girls, were the river guides. And while the Chippendales were that much better looking than us and that much more, you know, built and all the rest of it, I know for a fact that a bunch of guys on that trip got laid that night, and not one of them was a Chippendale. I'm pretty fucking sure of it off girls of that trip. And it was amazing. That was when I really saw the power of being an object of attainability for a woman. That's what you are as a river guide, because you're a girl looking at the river guides. All the other girls look at the river guides. They're all in competition with each other. Mm-hmm. I worked with some pretty ugly fucking river guides. Great one. I'll say that right now. And they got laid on a regular basis. It was amazing to watch. Amazing. So, there you go. Did we want to say anything else about 60-year-old men giving advice about dating, or have we flogged that one?
I think we flogged it fairly well.
To your satisfaction. Okay.
Brilliant. We are brilliant. Thanks for noticing.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of our brilliance,
how long?
If you would like to sponsor the brilliance of the Greasy Pole podcast, remember, you can contact us. We're looking for sponsors. We are capitalist whores.
Are we?
Right?
Oh, cool.
Of course. Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, so if you're opening a science school, you want to sponsor? We could sponsor that. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Maybe we should contact Justin.
Maybe Trudeau. Maybe you're a company that makes Bunsen burners. Mm. Yeah.
Or if you're
or red light bulbs.
Yes, if you're selling red light bulbs. God, great minds think alike. That's exactly where I was going.
There we go.
If you sell armbands.
Tattooing equipment, like tattooing supplies. Do your own tattoos at home.
You know, circling back to that for just a second, because I do have a theory on this, and this is completely serious. I came up with this when I was a baby and I was making hypotheses. I think part of the reason the left, right now today, 2018, you look at the left and they come up with these ideas like, hey, there are people who disagree with us. Let's, you know, put on black clothing and beat them up. Or we don't like guns, so let's get armbands and we'll put these armbands on. I think the reason why leftist tactics look so much like Nazi tactics is because, as the leftists don't know, because they don't know anything about history, the Nazis were leftist. And all of these things are just the sort of quote-unquote solutions that come naturally to leftist. It doesn't matter where you are in history. If you are a leftist, you know, you're the first thing when there's a quote-unquote problem, like a school shooting, the first thing you think is, oh, what can I take away from someone else so that I feel good? If someone disagrees with you, the first thing you think of is, well, how can I beat this person up because I can't argue with them? Right. I mean, this is why the anti-fags and they all look like Nazis, even though they call everyone who disagrees with them Nazis, because their mindset, their worldview is exactly the same as the Nazis.
I also think, continuing with that excellent appraisal of your own, I also think that it's also like if you pronounce that you are not something, then it doesn't matter what you do that discredits that pronouncement, because the pronouncement is everything.
Yes.
For example, Google's vision statement is don't be evil.
Right.
So anyone who works at Google, because they work at Google, they automatically assume that they are not evil, because that is the vision statement. And Google is not evil, and they work at evil, so nothing they could possibly do would be evil, because that would be to go against Google's vision statement. This frees them up psychologically to do all sorts of nasty behavior. So the same thing with the anti-fascist league, whatever they call themselves. By declaring that they're against fascism, they can display any sort of behavior that ties in directly with fascism, because the behavior doesn't matter. It's the intent that counts for leftists and people like this.
Right. You're absolutely right. They can't be fascist in their own mind because they are anti-fascist. They said so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they don't lie, of course.
No, God, no. Never.
No. Hey, how are we doing for time? Are we around an hour?
Let's
how are we going?
See. We're about hour 17.
Oh, I think that's good. I think that's a pretty good length of time to listening to you and I blather on to each other.
Yeah, I agree. I think anyone who's suffered through this much, you know, I mean, if you can get through this, you might even be able to get through that Justin Trudeau video, or God help you, even or the Stefan Molyneux, Owen Wine.
I was going to mention the Stefan Molyneux. I tell you what, I really want to, I'll get you to send me a link
all right,
to that.
Yeah, I'll do that. And if any of you out there can get through that video, like I made it through the first 30 minutes and I could not do any more. It was so, listening to Stefan Molyneux.
I'll tell you what, if any listeners of the Greasy Poll get through that video and get through the Justin Trudeau on stage of Bill Nye video, which is only 9 minutes. If any visitors of the Greasy Pole, we will send you a Greasy Pole podcast pack. You get a red light bulb, an armband, a tattooing kit,
bow tie. Wait. Oh my God, Adam, I've got it. Dead serious.
Okay.
Bow ties for gun control.
Red
bow ties for gun control.
The whole podcast has been... Everyone, I just want you to know that we'd already planned the podcast to build up to this moment on purpose. This was not a fluke. The Great One and I very carefully plan out in advance exactly what we're going to say so that everything will coalesce and all the threads will come together in the end as beautifully and wonderfully as it just did then. So that's not pure happenstance, circumstance, whatever you want to call it there. That's absolutely 100% rock solid guaranteed.
And that's also the name of this episode. The Greasy Pole, episode two, Red Bow Ties for Gun Control. There it is.
Red Bow Ties for Gun Control.
Bam!
There you go, folks. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can check out the Great Ones website, Cynical Libertarian Society, which is
CYNLIBSOC. First three letters of Cynical Libertarian and Society. Or just type it into Google. I still appear on there for the moment, but I'm sure that I will be removed at some time in the future.
Oh, sure. And check out my blog at pushingrubberdanhill.com. And both of us have our own podcasts. This podcast comes out once every 4 weeks. It's a monthly podcast where it's kind of like you could call it our that time of the month podcast for the Great One and I. And you can also check out my books, Pushing Rubber Downhill and Run Guts Pull Cones. The Great One hasn't written any books yet, but I'm sure he will soon. And then we'll get to know his real name. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been the best second audience we've ever had. And we'll see you again soon.
Trump's Twitter, Trump's tranny, twit, tricks.
Fiend phone.
Trump's
Fiend
Twitter, phone. Trump's tranny, twit, tricks.
What are you saying to yourself?
Aaron and she talks.
You want to talk about the other McCain, the 60-year-old guy who's giving dating advice about moving across the room and watching Fast Times at Ridgemont Highs?
$1 was...
All right.
Oh, okay, wait.
Here we go.
Wait. There's one comment I have about our last cast together. You were surfing the internet too much. All I could hear was you clicking and with your mouse, and I'm talking, and I'm in the. You can just hear it in the background, man. It's just like, and it sounds like you're not even listening to me at all. You're just like typing away or clicking away. And I listen to the cast. I'm like, the cunt's not even. He's on fucking Facebook.
I was playing World of Warcraft.
You're probably a night elf when you look at your own ass, aren't you?